Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Fourth and final hour on this sunny Tuesday afternoon. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Looks like a beautiful day here in Middle Tennessee. At least it is down here in Rutherford County. And Smyrna, how about East Nashville and Bellevue? How's it looking over there?
Looking sunny good here.
Looking good.
All right. What about by the airport, Elijah? How's it looking? Sunny?
Sunny-ish.
Sunny-ish. Got a little bit of an ish over by the airport.
From my perspective, at least. I'm looking through blinds that are partially open. So.
Okay. Well, we should have Derek Mason here in a brief moment. Talk about their tough loss down at A&M. By the way, AK is what we'll call the Steelers reporter, because I'm not going to attempt it. I'm not going to jump in there like Chase did and then go pull the Carl Lewis. Work. Go, uh-oh, whoa.
I jumped latest, on the banana peel.
The latest tweet from AK, both Steelers players and coaches, both a Steelers player and coach, singular, told me they initially were told the game was super unlikely, but they were just told it's back on.
Interesting.
You talk about a fluid situation.
I know. No kidding. Is that not typical? Is that not a typical 2020 tweet?
Very
much so.
What
we've been doing the last 6+ months?
The other piece, though, I guess we haven't heard anything new on it, was, is there any speculation that you would push it to Monday?
No, I've seen nothing,
The
sort.
Seen nothing, but I still think that would be a reasonable ask if I'm the Titans.
Well, somebody who understands a little bit of what the Titans are going through is our next guest. Derek Mason is on the line with us, our weekly chat with Vanderbilt football coach. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing well, fellas.
We are talking today about, like I said, the Titans are going through a little bit of what you've experienced and other coaches around the country have experienced. Whenever you start getting positive tests, whenever you start shutting things down, the NFL hasn't had that happen until now, which really has surprised us that the first 3 weeks were pretty clean. But here we go, getting ready for week four. And the Titans are front and center on that news front as they have shut everything down. What's that like when you had to go through that?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, the thing that you're trying to do is make sure that you can get a you can get a hold of it, figure out exactly who, when, where, go through the contact tracing piece, make sure that you can minimize the risk of anybody else, like, in your place. Because they're pretty self-contained, over at the Titans, just in terms of their facility and what it looks like. So the thing that you want to do is make sure, and I'm sure they've done this, already gone through this, is just, contact tracing, continue to clean the facility, continue to do the things they need to do, but also just see what the, 1, 2, and 3 day impact, it'll be, to see, if anybody does become positive. The difference with those guys is that they're testing every day. So
yeah, true.
I think in their procedures and protocols, I mean, they'll get a quick handle on it and figure out exactly where they can go.
Did you have to, so you've done so much through via Zoom, and we've had different ways to go about our business this calendar year. Did you find yourself, because we've already read quotes where Mike Vrabel's already trying to get in their head, like, hey, if we're shut down all week and we just have to do a walkthrough on Saturday and they make us play on Sunday, like, we got to be ready to go. In other words, he's basically saying, don't be trying to build up excuses in your head. We'll work and do things that we can do. We can't do it out on the practice field, but we'll still keep preparing until they tell us not to. What about for you? Were you able to still get some work in when you couldn't be out there via Zoom or what have you?
Absolutely. I mean, the Zoom piece became, you know, extremely important because it is about, you know, attitude affecting the outcome and making sure that we were able to just check on our guys, like from a wellness standpoint, and make sure everybody was okay. And then, you know, we were able to have, you know, wellness checks along with the ability, you know, to still virtually do football. And like, believe me, it's a different way of doing things. It's not the preferred way, man, but right now it's really the only way, you know, when things like this pop up. And so it makes you have to be, you know, extremely creative with not just how you meet, man, but really what you talk about. You know, like the messaging that needs to be crafted around it, because again, you want to make sure that you can, you know, calm everybody down, keep everybody, you know, like in good spirits, but also just be where your feet are and understand that, you know, like you got to walk the fine line between continuing to prepare and making sure everybody's okay.
Coach, you looked aggravated at the end of the game. You looked like something was really bothering you. I think it was an official. What was going on at the end of the game where you looked pretty peeved?
And you look at those things can happen from time to time, but we're just talking about you know, situational football. You know, in a 2-minute scenario, you know, we get a stop on first down. You know, I'm trying to get a timeout called, and obviously, you know, they were at, you know, capacity wise, and it wasn't a full house, but you know, man, maybe it was too loud for him to hear. But you know, I was trying to draw his attention and just situational awareness all the way around. I think, you know, obviously, you know, referees are trained the way we're trained. You know, I mean, you're trying to make sure that you can, you know, get somebody's attention and somebody's paying attention so that you can get a timeout called. I think we lost maybe, you know, 15 seconds, I believe. 15 seconds. I can't remember, but you know, the idea was, okay, man, get the timeout called then so we can stop the clock. And, you know, time was against us in that scenario. So, I mean, you're just trying to get the timeout. I couldn't get the timeout and really couldn't garner his attention, and that was a little frustrating. And, you know, I mean, our exchange was not you know, an exchange that I thought warranted a penalty, man, but it got one. So you know, with that being said, you know, man, I had a conversation with, you know, their head of officials on Sunday. Man, we got it all worked out. I think moving forward, you know, situational awareness, you know, on their part and me making sure, man, that I can get the eyes of somebody at the end of a half or end of a game is something that I think is needed and really easy and doable.
You know, I'm going to make an editorial comment here, Coach, because I know you don't want to have to do it, but I'm going to do it for you. I don't understand how an SEC referee could not be looking over the sideline in anticipation of a team using their last timeout in that situation. It made no sense to me at all. And then they hit you with a 15-yard penalty that makes even less sense. And I realize that you guys are sort of hanging on by a thread. You're hoping to stay alive a little bit longer, but that's just basic stuff. Like, what all the stuff that you just explained is really basic refereeing 101. Darren and I and Chase could look over as a reference. You know, this is basic football. They have one timeout left. They've got to stop the clock. Maybe he wants to call the timeout. How could they not be looking at you? I don't understand that.
I think the thing that really surprised me is, you know, you're having to do things differently. And, yes, you've dealt with these loud SEC venues where full capacity, man, it is hard to hear. And, okay, chalk it up as it's deafening. Okay, but yes, there's fans in the stands, but it's a whole lot less, and it's a different atmosphere that you just went through. But the other thing is, you guys are doing things differently. You got to wear these masks. You have to be muffled, and you're not being able to scream. And I know sometimes you pull them down, but you know, it's a different set of circumstances. So you would think, Coach, that they would be even more aware of it because everybody's having to do things a little bit different, and that they would be on more alert because it's not normal times. That's my editorial.
Well, that was the bigger discussion, you know. It's not a year ago, and you know, hopefully in 2021 it looks different. But in 2020, I mean, we we've all got to be, you know, I mean, aware of, you know, everything going on around us. And again, I mean, it's just one of those things that, you know, I mean, hopefully you talk to it, man, you're able to get some assurances, you know, like to help make that part of the game easier, because that part of the game is hard within itself. It really is.
I mean,
you know, you're looking, you're trying to manage the clock. How much time will you have? What does it look like? But like I said, I had a really good conversation. I think it leads us in the right direction, and it doesn't give us that opportunity back. But you know, it is an opportunity for growth, and as long as we don't have situations like that again, and it's not repeated, man, you feel good about going forward.
Coach Derek Mason is with us, and Coach, you know, there were a lot of guys that we saw play for you significant time that we hadn't seen much before. We didn't know exactly what to expect, but you had to feel pretty good about how the guys really fought and competed, and every time it looked like they were on the ropes, they seemed to come back with a big play, and you guys, you know, had your opportunities to win the football game.
We did. You know, for me, man, I'm extremely encouraged, you know, by this group. You know, I mean, a young man, Commodore man in 2020. I mean, they, like every team in the country, we've all worked hard. Like I said, everybody started from the same starting line. And, you know, like this group, you know, went out, man, they played hard. We had young guys play. Man, we probably played close to 60 players on Saturday, you know, in different capacities. And I mean, it's just that type of year. But we do understand that we're better collectively. I think this group has bought into the simple idea. I mean, we've all got to, you know, prepare, train hard, challenge each other, and hopefully, you know, what you do in practice can carry over, you know, in the games. And I thought these guys, you know, left it out there on the field. I mean, you know, offensively, I mean, I had a chance to see, I mean, a freshman quarterback going to, you know, a place to face a top 10 opponent and actually, you know, function and maneuver and be able to handle himself, you know, as an SEC quarterback. So that was good to see. You know, I mean, you saw a defense be disruptive, and you saw an offense that was able to move and control, move the ball and control the clock. And I thought, you know, that was good to see, especially on that first drive, you know, being able to go down and get points. And then I thought we were solid in special teams. So overall, you know, good first performance. These guys know, hey, you know, there's two teams playing, and you want to win the game. This is not about finishing second. There are no more victories in this, and what we got to do is play to win. And that's exactly how we're trying to prepare. We're trying to prepare to win, compete to win, play to win.
You had a lot of things that, you know, you knew you were going to have new players, new coordinator, new system, but then you got hit with some players that opted out on the offensive line. I was really watching them close. I thought for about 50 minutes they really played well. It looked like maybe a little fatigue at the end. I'm just my observation, but you had to like what you saw, and it looks like you've got something to build off of there.
We do have something to build off of. You know, in this, it's not going to be without its fair share of challenges. And, you know, I told our guys, playing football in 2020 is not about excuses. It's about, you know, man, investing in the opportunities that you have. I thought that the offensive line played well. I mean, I thought, again, we were able to move the line of scrimmage at times. Man, we did a good job of keeping our quarterback upright most of the game. And there's a lot on that tape to learn from, grow from, get better, and that's exactly what we're working on now.
What you mentioned it, there are no moral victories. I would think for a lot of young players especially, the lesson of – because the reaction overwhelmingly, I think, for everybody that's going to be in contact with them outside of your group is going to be, hey, guys, you did a good job. You were right there. But as you know, to get over the hump is another thing, and you've got another big challenge here. So continuing to improve and get better and not rest on that, let's just call it, quote-unquote, moral victory, is going to be really essential.
Yeah, this group was mad after the game. They felt like, man, we had our chances, okay? And we don't want to be the group that's just, okay, well, man, we had our chances and we didn't capitalize. So, I mean, that was as much a motivating factor, you know, I mean, getting back on the practice field today as anything else. I mean, these guys were mad. They were angry. I mean, man, I saw tears. I mean, it was very quiet coming back. And I think that's what you want from a group, man, I mean, that's got some veterans mixed in with a lot of young guys that play. You know, it hurt. You know, I mean, you know, losing should hurt. Okay, I mean, it should hurt, you know, man, enough to make you get up, man, get back to the drawing board and make sure, man, that we can correct, you know, like the things that are correctable. You know, man, football, a lot of times in football, it comes down to the simple fact that you beat yourself. Your opponents don't beat you. So we felt that way. I know this week is going to be challenging with LSU, number 16 in the country, but every week's a challenge in the SEC. And that's what these guys signed up for. Okay, that's what they want. That's what they said they want. That's what they get. Okay, every day is an opportunity. What you do on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, okay, carries over to Saturday, and that's really where we are right now. Okay, so we're gonna go forward. Okay, man, we got a good team coming in here. We feel like we're a good team, and now what we got to do is go out there on Saturday and play our style of football because we know what LSU is gonna bring in here.
Talking to Derek Mason, Vanderbilt football coach, joins us every Tuesday at 1 o'clock. So you bring up LSU. They're obviously coming off a big loss in week one against Mississippi State. What are some things that you've seen in early preparations that you feel like that your team can exploit them on, that you have the advantage?
Well, I mean, from game one to game two, I mean, you're going to see a lot of improvement from LSU. Obviously, they were without one of their top guys in Stingley. And, you know, I mean, to lose him at corner, and then the special teams return game, you know, it was a big loss for them. But, you know, like with that being said, I mean, they looked a little, you know, rusty in the pass game. They got the run game going. They made some big plays in that ball game. And like anything else, you know, first game tackling, you know, I mean, a couple of busts here and there. And what you find is that, you know, a game could get out of hand. So, like for them, I'm sure they're going to clean their stuff up. But, they've got a potent offense. Defensively, man, they've always got, you know, man, players, athletes. When they got a couple of guys up front that can go get it. Again, Stingley is back, and we know who they are. We played this team a year ago, and LSU still has the same, you know, man, talented guys that they had a year ago. Some of those guys have gone on, but they lock and reload. So, you know, for us, man, it's got to be about making sure that we do what we do. Okay, we understand what they do. We got to be at our best. We got to hit on all cylinders. We got to protect our quarterback. We got to be able to move the football. We got to be able to get stops defensively, and we got to be able to cover and get returns in the special teams part of it. So, football's football. This thing is not going to be, you know, man, some far-fetched equation to play. Man, we got to show up. Man, we got to perform in all areas, and that's what we look forward to.
Coach, how excited are you that you're going to get some people in attendance, some students will be allowed to come into Vanderbilt Stadium and watch you guys play?
You know, I'm thankful to our administration and really, you know, Candace and athletics, you know, man, for, you know, been giving us the opportunity to have some senior student here at Vanderbilt, man. It's going to be our senior undergraduate students who are going to be in attendance. And obviously, our students are in the testing protocol, not like ours, man, but they're getting tested once a week. So they're in the same bubble as us. We look forward to getting our families, our players' families, you know, first and foremost, and our fan base back. But this is about a ramping up period. You know, the biggest thing that we know right now is that when you've seen teams get shut down, like Notre Dame and some other schools, it's happening from the outside in. You know, we haven't had an event on our campus, you know, like since our last football game, or in our stadium since our last football game. So for us, it's about logistics. You know, man, what are we doing in terms of getting people in, out, and making sure, man, that we can keep this place safe? Because Vanderbilt has done as good a job as anybody in the country when you look at the report rate, you know, man, of positive COVID cases. So, again, I mean, it's a ramping up. I look forward to getting, you know, man, I mean, our student athletes, parents here because we need them. Man, we need our fan base too. But this is the first step, and hopefully, sometime, you know, in the next 3 to 4 weeks, man, but we'll find ourselves getting back to, you know, some semblance of normalcy in our own stadium.
RTI, Coach, RTI.
You got to be that way. Let's get it.
By the way, I love when you just get so passionate. I mean, you don't want my old butt out there playing for you, but man, I feel like I'm ready to suit up when you get going. I'm ready to suit up and play.
Well, this is what I'll tell you. man, if you love to compete, hey, man, come on over here, man. Let's go and get that action, and I'll take you anytime.
Willie and Chase know I love to compete. I probably go too far sometimes. Hey, best of luck. Appreciate it. As always, good to talk to you. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Take care. Anchor Dan.
All right, that is Derek Mason, Vanderbilt football coach. When we come back, RTI, by the way, was what was on his mask on Saturday, and they talked about it on SEC Network. Pretty cool. He's always got the slogans. You know, coaches do that, get people fired up, kind of like what we were just talking about. He was getting very passionate in that interview with us. We'll come back. Mitch Light from The Athletic. On the other side, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
Return to
back here on Darren Donick and Chase. Good chat, as always, with Derek Mason, Vanderbilt football coach. Next up, Mitch Light. He's currently with The Athletic. He was formerly of Athlon, and his next job will be either at Applebee's, Apple, or Aldi. We're not sure. But that's a long time down the road. But we're just trying to figure out his next A stop. He is now on the line with us. Mitch, how you doing?
I'm good. That was last week's mediocre joke, Darren. We need to come up with some mediocre.
We got to come up with some new mediocre stuff.
I added Aldi into the mix. I added a third.
So clever.
If you want me to throw in with the theme, it's got to be an ATH. It's got to be an F.
Okay. I was going to say I could throw in Apple Barn, too, if you want me to go four deep.
Or we could just talk college football.
Or we could do that.
Let's do that.
Was a subtle hint of move on.
You've been gonged.
2 weeks in a row, I've been gonged. Let's start with the game of the week in college football. The one, that, by the way, finally, we get some really good ratings. Mississippi State and LSU had fantastic ratings. It was, of course, no doubt, the highest-rated college football game this season thus far.
Yeah, and of course it took about 6 hours too, so there was plenty of time to watch part of it.
It did. KJ Costello. One, do you think Stanford's going to rethink their offensive philosophy? And two, what do you make? And I know Stingley wasn't in it because Coach Mason just said he didn't play, but he's going to play, and he's one of the best, you know, best corners in the game, without a doubt. But to put up 600 and something yards passing on an LSU defense and what they were able to do, where they just basically did whatever they wanted to offensively, how much did that surprise you?
Well, before we get to that, you did bring up the game. Is it this year, the last year, the CBS contract? And I know, like, SEC is going to have big games, whether it's on ABC or ESPN, that 2:30 time slot, it's still going to be their game. But I'm just going to miss – there's just something special about the CBS game. It's just – it's like the only thing they do – and it just makes that game feel different and like appointment viewing. So the music's phenomenal. So I'm going to miss that. But to specifically answer your questions, I mean, no one saw this coming. You're crazy if you thought so. Now, from the LSU standpoint, I think we talked about it last week. And I just, with all of the losses they had, not even just Stingley missing one game, but all of the losses they had on both sides of the ball, key personnel, coaches, it just – there was no way they were going to be – obviously, they weren't going to be as good as the best team in college football history. I just didn't even see them being top five good. I thought they'd be maybe top 10 fringe, top 10 good. And that remains to be seen. There's still a lot left in the season. But I thought Miles Brennan, against a good but not great Mississippi State defense, I thought Miles Brennan didn't look comfortable at the quarterback position. They've got some nice young weapons at wide receiver, but they clearly don't have what they had last year. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire at this point last year, we didn't know what he was going to be, and he turned out to be a first-round draft pick. So not surprised, not shocked that LSU lost the game. You're going to tell me that they throw for 600 yards? You know, of course not. KJ Costello was always a really good quarterback at Stanford. He had some injury issues. He would rotate with Keller Crist, who, you know, ended his career at Tennessee as a grad transfer. So seemed like a good fit there. Obviously a smart kid who was able to pick up the offense, even though he just showed up over the summer. So a lot's been made of this, and I agree with what everyone's saying. This is probably the most talented team that Mike Leach has ever coached. He did a lot with not too much at Washington State. This Mississippi State team has a top 25 roster if you look at the recruiting rankings. So I think it's great for the league. It's fun. And, you know, it kind of raises the ante. You know, every week we're going to be watching what Mississippi State can do to all these great defenses.
They've got Arkansas at home this week. They're at Kentucky and home against A&M. That's their next three. What kind of percentages would you put on them getting off to a 4-0 start?
You know, you look at each individual game, you could say they could win, but I don't think they will. I think 3-1 would be the safe
okay.
bet there.
Okay.
You know, I just don't you just don't envision a team winning three straight, a team with a non-elite team in the SEC of winning three games like that. Right now, I'm interested to see what, you know, it's not like what they do is anything special. If the football people will tell you, and Mike Leach has been running the same stuff since he ran at Texas Tech. There's no secret to what he does. It's very effective. And if you have the right quarterback pulling the trigger, it's gonna be effective. And they always seem to have a quarterback good enough. Look at his Washington State teams. You know, they go from Gardner Minshew. Every year they had a productive quarterback, often just a one-year starter. Like Anthony Gordon last year threw for, I think he broke Gardner Minshew's record. So it's a very quarterback-friendly offense, obviously.
I know it's 1 week, but this is what we do on talk shows. We have to talk about one
sure.
week. And I don't want to get too hyped up, but does Florida look like the best team in the conference right now?
I would still say Alabama. I mean,
you still go Alabama, okay.
Easy work of Missouri. But I watched pretty much every snap of the Florida game. That was kind of my main game. And then I had the Kentucky-Auburn game on the laptop there. And Florida was very impressive. And they took some early punches. Ole Miss came out hyped up. And it was clear that Ole Miss had an early game plan of getting both quarterbacks involved. In fact, there was even a play where Matt Corral threw the ball to John Rhys Plumlee. I think it was negated by a penalty. But the, you know, Ole Miss obviously did very well statistically as well, but Florida just was almost flawless on offense. You know, Kyle Trask, 6 touchdown passes. Kyle Pitts was great. You know, they've got a stable running back. The offensive line still a work in progress, but I'm with you. I mean, to single them out as maybe the best team in the league, I mean, I'd still go Alabama, but I'm doing my power rankings. I would have Florida number 2.
Okay, so, well, you may have just answered it, but let me rephrase. Are they the best in the East?
You know, right
like
now,
I said, I don't want to get caught up. I know Georgia looks sluggish. It was, what, 7-5 at the half. It's 1 week. But, I mean, if you're just going off what we could go off of, Florida looks
sure.
like the better team,
yeah,
at least thus far.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you. We all we can do is go off the results. Now, we have our preconceived notions, and we know what Georgia's roster looks like, but I picked Florida to win the East before the season. And Georgia did not look great. Now, they were very good defensively, and did I ever think they were going to lose that game? No, but they did not look comfortable offensively with Mathis at quarterback, and that changed a little bit with Bennett there. And, you know, I think Arkansas has definitely improved defensively. I don't know how good they're going to be offensively, but they are much better. You know, bringing Barry Odom as the defensive coordinator, they're going to be much better there. But, yeah, I think Georgia, that's why I'm fascinated this weekend for the Auburn game. There are legitimate reasons for Georgia to be concerned offensively.
Hmm. We're talking to Mitch Light, part of the college football editorial team for The Athletic. And, Mitch, you just hit on, when you change the coordinators, sometimes you just never know how it's going to look, how different it looks, what are the results. So let's go into that a couple of ways. You know, let's start with Vanderbilt. Changed coordinators on both sides of the ball. And it is only one game, and there's going to be a lot of tests, and now there will be film out for other teams to study exactly what it is that they're doing there. But they didn't. They looked like they had it a lot more together on both sides of the ball, coaching-wise, scheme-wise, than they did at many points last year.
Yeah, you know, the talk seems to be coming out of the game with Ken Seals at quarterback, but I'll point to defense first. I thought the defense was, you know, really sound. They did give up, you know, from a per-play standpoint, it wasn't great. Texas A&M only had 55 snaps. But the thing that kind of impressed me was, this is kind of a weird way to say it, I thought Texas A&M big plays were just when they had got, you know, Vanderbilt missed some tackles, no doubt, but they had some plays where they just out-athleted Vanderbilt, and that's going to happen. It's going to happen to any team, and there's great athletes on offense in the SEC. I didn't see the huge holes in the line, you know, where there was no, defensive player within 5 yards. I didn't see receivers running free too often. I thought they had a really good game plan for Kellen Mond. They kept him under wraps. So I think defensively, they definitely didn't give up big plays. I don't think they had a running player. They maybe had one running player over 20 yards, one passing player over 25 yards. So that was key as well. You know, offensively, it's going to be a struggle. The statistics weren't pretty, but you got to say Ken Seals looks like a quarterback. That throw for the touchdown pass was as good as it gets. He made other key third down throws. I thought Marlowe running the ball looked pretty good. I was curious about him as a potential of an every down back. You know, they used him as a true freshman 2 years ago. Andy Ludwig really liked him. They kind of used him, if you remember Darius Sims, they kind of used him in that role. A lot of sweeps and stuff like that. I didn't know if he was big enough to be an every down back, but they used him in that role. I think he looked pretty good. And the offensive line was serviceable. I thought they probably ran out of gas in the fourth quarter there and some big sacks there. But all you know, if you ranked Vanderbilt's opponents before the season, you probably said Texas A&M was probably going to be the most difficult game because it was on the road. And for them to lose by less than one score, I think you have to look at it as a positive.
Yeah, yeah. And so hopefully by the end of the year, you have some things you can build around and move forward. But it is only 1 week, so you got to be a little cautious with how it develops from here. LSU will be tough coming in. I want to know your thoughts on the ceiling of Kyle Trask. I guess, you know, he was on my radar to a point, but I heard some people on the SEC Network, for example, going through the highlights because they were one of the first games in the books, right? So the coverage throughout the day, they go back and they show the highlights of Florida, and he's lighting up the scoreboard. The tight end was awesome. And they were saying, like, they asked the question, is Trask this year's Joe Burrow? Is that far-fetched, or how much talent does this guy have?
Yeah, I don't think he has as much natural talent as Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow's a better athlete, you know, running the ball. Trask is a mystery. I mean, everyone knows his story. He was a backup to D.R. King in high school and was a backup at Florida. You know, Florida saw something they liked out of him, obviously, to offer him a scholarship. Not many teams. He got a little bit of a recruiting bump after he got that Florida offer, which typically happens. You know, I think Dan Mullen is quarterback friendly. We talk about Mike Leach in a different way. Dan Mullen always seems to coax good quarterback play. They've got a great tight end. They've got unproven wide receivers. I don't think Ole Miss is a great defense. He is very, very, very smart. I think he has a great grasp of that offense, and he knows exactly where to go with the ball, knows what reads to make at the right time. Are you asking me, can he win the Heisman Trophy? Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't pick him yet, but he's got to be in that discussion now, especially if, as Darren's point earlier, Florida might be the second best team in the SEC right now. If he's throwing six touchdown passes, then you got to throw him in there. And kind of a tangent to that, you know, Willie, you know, over the years, I love talking stats. One other thing I love about this all-SEC season, all the stats mean something. Sure, you can say Ole Miss isn't good defensively or they played X team, but it's not like we're 5 weeks into the season and you're comparing a team that's played an FCS team and two group of five teams with someone else who's played, you know, four power five teams. Everyone in the SEC is going to be playing the same amount of games and they're all against conference foes. So I think stats will tell a better story this year than ever.
Yeah, not knock on wood that everybody plays the same amount of games.
Yeah, because in theory,
yes. Anything outside of the SEC jump at you? We were all marveled, and I don't know if you flipped over and watched the wacky finish to the Texas Tech-Texas game, but it's like business as usual, I guess, in the Big 12 with games like that. It's like a little touch of arena football still mixed in.
Yes, and I was, you know, hazards of my job where I'm watching football all day, but my Florida writer submitted a story right as the Texas game was going down the stretch there. So I missed the end of it. It was kind of like I had it on the TV, but I was trying not to pay attention. So obviously I know what happened and the craziness in that game. And, you know, Texas Tech coming off a near loss to Houston Baptist. And then we all know about the Big 12 team struggles against Sun Belt teams. And then Kansas State, you know, kind of taking it to Oklahoma. So, yeah, just wackiness in the Big 12, and it's alarming if you're Big 12. It's alarming if you're Oklahoma State to lose 2 years in a row to that Kansas State team, especially having a big lead like that. And it's alarming for Texas to give up that many yards. They have two number three ranked recruiting classes are the core of this program right now. I think it was 3 years ago and 4 years ago, they had the number three classes in the nation. There's just too much talent on that defense. There's just something in the DNA there where they just cannot get it figured out because they should not be giving up that type of production defensively.
We're talking to Mitch Light of The Athletic. So now going back to the SEC, Tennessee gets the win 31-27 over South Carolina. But how far do you think Jarrett Garantano can take this team as their quarterback?
That's a good question because, you know, watched that game and he just, and this is not breaking any news, he just has some throws you just like, you've been playing quarterback your whole life. and he just misses them by 2 yards here or there. Like, I can see making poor reads, and playing quarterbacks extremely difficult. Like, you watch some of these guys from a field level, and you're like, how do you not throw an interception on every play? You know, there's so much, you know, defense is disguising. And Jeremy Pruitt said after the game, he makes good decisions. He just misses some throws, and I think that puts a ceiling on this offense, because there's going to be, when they're playing better teams in South Carolina, he's got to make a key throw on 3rd and 7. And if you miss that throw, force a drive, it could be the difference in a ball game. So my guess is they stay with him all year. He's a fifth-year senior. Obviously, he knows the offense. I think he's got the support of the team, which a couple of years ago was in question. So, but that's a good point, that they've got some quality backups. I mean, they've got 3 other guys in their roster that I think they feel good about. But as a fifth-year senior, it's a tricky situation. You know, he wasn't bad by any stretch the other day, but he definitely missed some throws.
And then just as the team overall, I mean, defensively, you had Henry Chioto, you know, he was making plays, had the pick six. I thought that there was some, you know, some good from what I saw, but what did you make of it overall and how they could look moving forward once the competition gets a little stiffer?
Yeah, it was a game I thought they would win and should win. I don't not in love with the South Carolina team, so it was sort of like, okay, sort of paraphrasing Jeremy Pruitt here, this program right now isn't good enough that they can't celebrate the wins. Like, going on the road to beat South Carolina is important. It was a huge win for this program. But it was a win they should have had, and they didn't play great. So that's the positive. They didn't play great, and they won. The negative is they're going to need to play better against the better teams on the roster. I thought they did some good things. I like their backfield combination of Chandler and Gray. You know, some of the new wide receivers stepped up. So I like this team. Is it the team I think that can challenge Florida and Georgia? I would say no, but I think it's the top of that next tier.
And you kind of referenced this game earlier, but what's your perception of Auburn? Because I look at this game, and they won the game, but it was very, very close, and Kentucky almost beat themselves, and that's kind of how the score got away from them. But what did you make of Auburn?
Yeah, you kind of said something there that I thought. It's like when you're Auburn and you're playing at home against Kentucky, you don't need to play a perfect game. Kentucky's the team on the road. It was good, but they're not as talented. They needed to play the more complete game, and they didn't. They weren't as good in the red zone. Auburn was much more efficient scoring touchdowns in the red zone. We all know about Kentucky's turnovers in that game. So I thought Auburn did enough to win the game. I thought that they looked good for the most part offensively. Seth Williams, 2 great touchdown catches. I thought he was probably the best player on the field. So that was a game where you're going into, and not that it matters what everyone thinks, but everyone's putting them on upset alert, this Kentucky team coming in. I thought they showed some progress offensively. So I think it was a quality win for Auburn. You survived that game. Now, obviously, you turn your attention to Georgia. But I was impressed, not blown away by Auburn, but I was impressed, especially offensively.
South Carolina, Florida, and Missouri, Tennessee are the 2 11 o'clock starts on Saturday. Mitch, really appreciate the visit. As always, have a great week. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
All right. Take care, guys. Bye.
That is Mitch Light from The Athletic. The South Carolina-Florida game is on ESPN, and the Missouri-Tennessee game is on SEC Network. Vanderbilt, I think, will be, they're the 6:30 nightcap game. That's on SEC Network. Arkansas-Mississippi State, 6:30, SEC Network alternate. Auburn, Georgia, 6:30, ESPN. That should be a really good one. All right, we'll come back and wrap up Tuesday's show next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
This is the end, beautiful friend.
Don't forget, on Thursday at high noon, it is the end of today's show. But Thursday at high noon, we will review last week's silly underdog picks, and then we will make our new selections. You can play along with us. Remember, you get 3 picks, you the listeners. And all you have to do is go to thegamenashville.com, or you can go to the ESPN The Game Nashville mobile app. You can sign up and make your picks today. And remember, you get 3 of college football or NFL, however you want to do it. You can do all 3 NFL, all 3 college, or a little bit of each. We do 1 college and 1 pro, which has been kind of the new wrinkle this year. And it's been a lot of fun.
I have enjoyed that.
Yes, it really, because it once the college games are over and you didn't, let's say you struck out, But you get another opportunity on Sunday. So it's really – it's fun to play along because you get one each day. And that's what I've really enjoyed. I've liked the new wrinkle. In fact, I would vote moving forward. We do this, you know, moving forward no matter what the year is. I know 2020 is different, but I've liked the one college game, the one pro game. It's just made it a lot more fun for our contest.
Considering I've been happy 3 weeks in a row, I agree.
Yeah, you have. You have had a winner, and you've done it from – you've done two. You've had two winners from the NFL and one from college.
Yep.
Kelly has had a winner each week. It's been same deal, two from the NFL, one from college. I've had two winners, both from college. I've had no luck on the NFL side, and luckily my college picks have been pretty big. The two games netted me a lot of points. But I've had more luck on the college circuit, but I still enjoy my pro picks. I've liked my pro picks. I've just had no luck. Like, I felt really good about your Cowboys this past week against Seattle. I did. I liked that pick. I was like, that one's going to win. And it didn't.
No.
Now, if it was not for that Falcons come, this would be a 0-3 Dallas team.
I know.
If it was not for that come-from-behind victory over Atlanta.
Well, and I won't even – I mean, Russell Wilson made some plays, don't get me wrong, and I love watching Russell Wilson, but the boneheaded helmet-to-helmet play by the Cowboys that – I mean, they had them stopped, so that – you know, they shot themselves in the foot at times. Dak made an incredible a caller brought it up with Floyd and I yesterday and reminded him of Steve McNair – in the Super Bowl, Dak made an incredible play, coming, getting out of a sack, keeping himself up, and then he throws it right to a defender. So,
yep.
Just, you know, one of those things. I just don't think that division's very good. Cowboys are beat up and probably still win the division by default.
This week's winner will receive a Burger Republic gift card. That is a good prize. So play along with us. Let's keep those numbers up. You have in the past. We've had great participation. We want even better participation this year. I was reading a tweet from one of our listeners, and it came from – the originator was Mike Tenier, who is an NFL national writer. Have you guys seen this? And he said, normally I would – he would tweet it out. Normally I would guess that the Titans and maybe the Vikings games would be suspended if they could not practice all week. But – harken back to in 2005 when the NFL made the Saints play in San Antonio after practicing in parking lots in with New Orleans underwater.
I did see that.
And they played. Made them play their game. So
there seems to be a big split on what's going to happen. In other words, I think both are very possible right now, that they could play or that they could move. I've seen articles put out by some of the national writers that the theory of the Ravens and the Steelers have the same bye week, so you could move the Steelers-Ravens game back a week to the bye week, and so you play the Titans-Steelers game in week 7. That's been a common speculation. You've also seen speculation that it will be game on. I haven't seen any speculation of moving the game to Monday, which I continue to be curious about. If you want to really get up to speed, if you've been working all morning and you're just sort of catching wind of this and you want to know what questions have been answered, what haven't, or what happened, there's a really good, I think, chronology on ESPN.com. It's written by Kevin Seifert, and he really kind of says, here's what we know, here's what we don't know. And one detail that I don't think we knew for sure, but we did ask the question earlier before some of this has been all hashed out, was, the question was asked, Shane Bowen tests positive on Saturday, can't go. So what was the timeline between that, the game actually being played on Sunday, and then the revelation on Monday? He said that the Titans' entire traveling party, this is Kevin Seifert on ESPN, was tested Saturday, as they would ordinarily be. The Titans had those results by Sunday morning. All were negative, meaning every coach, player, and staff member was then eligible for Sunday's game. But the Titans stayed in the hotel. They did all the protocols there. And then he points out, and this is what I guess I didn't know, There is no testing on game day. Did you guys know that?
I did not.
So that's the explanation possibly for how, you know, everybody's okay to travel with the testing and the results, but then you find out Monday that you had some positives because nobody's tested on Sunday. And so they're saying in there perhaps that is
that
a
changes.
Flaw in the system there.
Yeah, but what if you get a false positive and that's one of your superstars, and then you find out on Monday the league sends you the letter saying, sorry, they should have been able to play. Well, how do you think those teams are going to feel?
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff. But I think there's all kinds of things that can come up.
It's like
there's
the missed call, right? Sorry, the crew got it wrong. Yeah, well, we lost the game, so your sorry letter doesn't do anything for us. You know what I mean?
I just think it's a good article that sort of goes through piece by piece some of the things that we have been – talking about all day pretty much since we went on the air at 10. This story hit, you know, really yesterday. We all were asking because Mike Vrabel noticeably did not rule out, you know, he had a chance to say no players were affected, and he stopped short of saying that. So we were all wondering, and then sure enough this morning they issue the statement, three positive tests for players, five other members of the staff, total of eight, have positive tests. So now, deep cleaning, can't go to the facility until Saturday, cannot gather, even on their own, in a parking lot or anything. By league rule, you can't do that. All they can do is virtual stuff in preparation for the game that, as of now, is still on against the Steelers.
Seeing some people who follow the Steelers or cover the Steelers tweeting out that Mike Tomlin was supposed to address the media today at noon Eastern. That was postponed. The Steelers could come out and said Mike Tomlin will address the media at 5 o'clock p.m. our time tonight. So I wonder what Mike Tomlin will have to say speaking with the media at 5 o'clock our time this afternoon or this evening.
Well, my guess is we will all be paying attention to that. I'm sure I would even be – I won't speak for them, but I bet Jared and Floyd will probably air some of that, if I had to guess. So keep it right here.
Where is the baseball game? What channel is it on? Can
ABC.
Anybody find it?
ABC.
It's on ABC?
Two. It's a little network called ABC.
Really?
American Broadcasting Company.
The Twins Stros is on ABC at 1 o'clock in the afternoon?
It is.
Top of the second.
Over no soaps? Score. Over the soaps? Really?
It's on.
Wow.
Yeah, ESPN, or Disney, I should say, the parent company of ESPN and ABC, they've decided all of a sudden, you know, we used to have this thing called the ABC Wide World of Sports. We're just going to put more back on ABC.
It's scoreless in the top of the second, Astros and Twins. Carl Ravitch is on the microphone, Tim Kirkjian and Eduardo Perez. But I was hoping when I turned on ABC to see Don Drysdale, Howard Cosell, and Keith Jackson from back in the day, or Al Michaels and Jim Palmer and Tim McCarver. I was looking for those guys, but I didn't see any of them.
Did they open it with from the thrill of victory to the agony of defeat?
No, they didn't do that either.
This is ABC Sports.
They didn't do that either. They didn't have any kind of throwback connection. It looked like an ESPN broadcast.
See, y'all are impressed that I know that. That's before my time.
Well, if you did see that, we have breaking news. So that would have been cool if you would have seen that, if you'd have turned over. Honestly, I was flipping around, and the last place I would have gone would have been the networks. I mean, I was everywhere.
Well, there's a lot of games. You got to remember, there's eight series going on. Tomorrow's going to be even crazier because all eight series will be going on during the course of the day. So
yeah, at 11 o'clock, Ryan and I are going to need to be separated.
Woo, we'll have to talk about that
one
tomorrow
morning.
You will
be, because you'll be working with us.
Well, that's,
so.
That's true.
Unless there's something
Elijah.
I don't know.
Elijah, too, because Elijah's a Reds fan. So.
You going to be a little nervous about that one?
I'm not. No, I'm good.
You should be.
Oh, you're nervous. I'm the good. Fact that you paused, you're nervous.
There's going to be a Bauer outage tomorrow.
Okay.
It's going to be a Bauer outage. You hear that, Porth? Bauer outage.
All right.
Freddie Freeman, MVP. Let's go.
That'll do it for today. I don't know about that ending, but that just happened. You have a great rest of your day. Be safe. We want you back with us tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Who knows what we'll be talking about tomorrow morning then. We'll see you then.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane. Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.